weekly warm pipe.
What's up, Jay?
Oh, you know, just living that good life. Because technology's working this week.
Yeah, we're good. We can see you clearly. We got a good camera on there. We got the good microphone.
I mean, I was even here on time, Russ.
I will say, that if you do want to nitpick a little bit, I got to get you. Oh. You got to be cabled in. You can't be going through Wi-Fi.
Oh.
Because sometimes you're frozen like now, and then you move a little bit. And I'm like, it must be because you're going through the Wi-Fi.
Oh, see, that doesn't show on my end.
That's well, see, let me know, because I don't know if it shows in the playback. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it records it and you don't see Jay stuttering, but
let's hope not. I hope not. If it gets bad, we'll figure something out and I'll run me like a 20-foot cable through the house.
That's it. I mean, that's what I do. I'm literally running it to where the router is. I think I bought a 20-foot cable on Amazon.
All right.
It was like $11.
Hey.
Anywho, we're asking you guys, what do you want to hear for topics? You can always let us know on any of our social media some topics we like to cover. You can inbox us on Instagram. I know Michael
or OnlyFans, either one.
or you could call us on our phone number, 949-682-9277, and leave us a voicemail about a topic you would like to hear or anything.
Yeah.
How you're feeling.
Yep. Tell us your deepest secrets.
Yeah. And we asked you on our Facebook page. So let's see, we got, how do we get this over here? Add to stage. There we go. Here we go. We had two people comment. No Remorse said, what's the end game when collecting? Which is a great topic to dive into. And then we kind of have a follow up. He was discussing. Colby said physical game production and going to digital only. He gives his little thoughts on it. Retro collectors obviously will still collect, but I still prefer the physical copy and case. Love being able to display and show off what I'm playing. Digital media isn't the same. And No Remorse actually comes in with that. Do you feel console and game developers are encouraging digital only versus physical?
All good questions.
So kind of keep that in mind. We're going to dive into what's the end game when collecting for a little bit and kind of get our thoughts on that there. It'll be interesting because you, Jay, are selling some of your collection.
I am.
As you expressed to us
my
a few
end
episodes
game,
back.
Yeah, but it hasn't happened because, once again, I don't find time for anything. So I've sold off a few things, but not much. So. There's still a lot of it clearly behind me. And the longer I go without selling it, the more I think, you know what? I don't want to sell anymore. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
But I would say originally for me, my end game has changed.
Okay.
I would say initially I wanted the entire NES library.
Okay.
Why? Because that was the thing to do when I started YouTube. You slowly collect every single game. And it was mostly because it was so fun to watch, particularly Michael B. the Game Genie, try to accomplish that task. And I was like, why can't I, the NES addict, also accomplish that task? So I did it. I tried it. And I got, you know, relatively close, but no, that's not true. It was like probably like halfway. But what I realized ultimately was that even if I got 99% of the way, there were like a handful of games that I would just never be able to acquire purely because I'm not going to spend the money. I'm not going to buy Little Samson. I'm not going to buy Surprise at Dinosaur Peak. I don't have Retro Rick's money. You know, some of us didn't make it on YouTube and we're still poor. So anyway, yeah. So, you know, in stadium events, stuff like that, I just knew I wasn't going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then also when you have video games for as long as Russ and I, and I'm sure many of you have had them, you start to notice I only play a small percentage of the games that I own.
Right.
So why do I need Battle Chess for NES when I hate that game? It takes 1,000 years for the player to move because he's going Kong, Kong, you know? So I'm like, I'm never going to play this. Why do I even own this? I mean, I still own it, but I mean, there was a part of me that was like really into the idea of video game preservation. Oh, I want to have a complete collection because I want future people to be like, oh, this was the whole NES library. When the reality is, my son, who is the future, won't care. So that was another thing. But now I think I think the end game should be for me, just keep what makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably somewhere in the middle. Like, keep some games, maybe get rid of some games. I don't need all of this stuff to be happy. But
right.
Because the longer I have it, the more I find out that it's great. I love it. It's cool to have. But I mean, I've gotten rid of a boxed Virtual Boy.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten rid of the NES Sharp television.
Right.
And what was the other thing I got rid of recently that was pretty big? That was a pretty big deal. Oh, I got rid of my Famicom disk system.
Oh, to Mega Dan.
To Mega Dan. Love that he has it. I had the complete Mega Man collection, but I sold Andy Pac-Man case my Mega Man 5. I no longer have a complete Mega Man collection for the NES. But what I find is none of that has hurt me at all. I don't care.
Right. No seller's remorse or
not really. I mean, I even though I know I said a few minutes ago I wanted to keep some of my stuff, but I think that's mostly out of laziness and I don't feel like taking the time to get rid of it. But anyway, that was a long spiel. Russ, how do you feel about this?
No, I dig it. And you brought up some good points too. I almost feel like with the question, you know, what's the end goal in collecting? I feel like it changes throughout your collecting, right? Through your journey. You start off with, like you said, I want to do a complete NES set. And then maybe things change along the way and you adjust to that. I started watching YouTube and seeing NES Pursuit, watching the Game Chasers, and you're seeing them find these old retro games and the fun of going out and collecting and then wanting to make similar content. So then my goal was like, oh yeah, let's go to Goodwill's flea markets and buy these games if they're cheap. And much like you said, like who needs battle chess or whatever? If the game was cheap, you were essentially buying it, because one, it was then making content,
right
no one's gonna watch it if you're just seeing the games, you're not buying anything,
right?
You gotta buy something.
Gotta buy something.
But then you could also too, if you're almost like Retro Rick, maybe you had this stack of games that you don't play, and then you can flip those games to then fund to get more games.
What's interesting is that is exactly how I built my collection. I just didn't film it all. Had I, maybe my channel would have blew up, but I didn't, which is also funny because I remember Aaron used to always be like, there's so much stigma about flipping games. I thought that's what everybody did. We just didn't tell everybody that's what we did.
Right. We did it behind the scenes.
Because that's sure as heck how I got all this crap. I didn't pay for it.
But I will say my collecting goal in the beginning was certainly to get a lot of the games that I remember from my childhood playing or maybe renting and I didn't own.
And that's kind of how it starts, right? That's like this. And then
because you want to relive kind of that. I totally remember playing Darkwing Duck. Yeah. This was awesome. Bionic Commando.
Batman. That was
Batman. So you start playing some of the games. So you have the nostalgic feelings. I feel like for collecting, it was great to do smaller goals, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like you're saying, full NES set. We'll break it down. I wanted to have all the Mega Man games.
Yep.
Okay, let's chip away at that. Then maybe you can break that down further. Oh, I want to have all the Capcom games.
Yep.
Which, not too bad, but then you know you got DuckTales 2.
Yep.
And you got Rescue Rangers 2, which are pricey. And then the Mega Man games obviously are pricey as well, but still kind of doable. So I kind of was doing that. Again, I like Resident Evil. You know, you pick these series and you kind of, let me do these subsets.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of cool. One of my main goals, too, was to get a complete Virtual Boy set. I figured that's the lowest NES library obtainable.
It's the most reasonable, for sure.
Reasonable. Like, the highest game Jack Bros is a few hundred dollars, not opposed to a little Samson, which could be thousands.
Yes.
Essentially. So I'm like, okay. And it took a while. I was getting, you know, a few games here and there. You know, you get the cheap ones, $30 for this one, $40 for this one. Then it starts getting to the higher ones. You're like, oh, do I want to spend
bite the bullet?
$150 on this? So I ended up, I had a good portion. And then a deal just kind of came across that I couldn't pass up on Facebook Marketplace. And I ended up buying this person's full set with a Virtual Boy. So now I have doubles that I still haven't sold, but I would like to, you know, I don't need doubles of Virtual Boy games, so I can sell those to then fund something else.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely feel like that with is the end goal. And then maybe like getting good games to play with friends.
Right.
You know, okay, I'm collecting. I kind of want to collect some games so when friends come over, they have that. Or you're showcasing your collection, right?
Right.
Shout out for talking about Retro Rick. Retro Rick just posted a video about David Apuzzo's game room tour. He was here in Connecticut for Retro World Expo. He was at my buddy David's house, and he just did his game room tour. So you can see David's collection. It's got a lot of stuff in his basement. He made a basement into a game room, and it's pretty well curated, as Retro Rick was saying, organized. So yep. If you guys want to check out that video, for sure, check that out.
You know, another thing, and this was a video that I always wanted to make, Russ, and I never made it, and maybe one day I will. But when I first started watching YouTube, you would see these guys with these massive collections as their backdrop.
Mm-hmm.
And you would say, it seemed like it gave them so much credibility. Like, they're talking about games. Clearly they know about them. Look at all the ones behind them. So I remember that being like a focus of mine. Like, I want that backdrop for my YouTube channel. And you can see if you go back and watch old videos of mine versus new mm-hmm. videos of mine, like that slowly started to happen. And, mm-hmm. and now I would say I have a pretty decent backdrop. I mean, could it be worked on? Sure. But that was another goal, just to, as I was gaining games and learning more about games, and mm-hmm. I was also increasing my collection, but I feel like I was getting that, what's the word I'm looking for?
Credibility?
I guess like street cred. Yeah, I guess credibility. That kind of, you know, with, oh yeah, that guy knows what he's talking about. Look at all the crap behind him.
A little flexing.
Yeah. I mean, I guess so. You know, like, I mean, I'm sure that's partly true, you know, like, oh cool, look at this stuff. So not that that's like that was like an end game, but it was part of it, you know. I think the end game is a very subjective question, because I mean, hopefully he's just asking for our end game, because our end game is probably going to be very different from other people's.
Right. No, absolutely. Like I said, even our beginning end game can change along the way with certain life changes and goals. Like, I had to move my game room from where it was in mom's basement. I had full reign down there, and now I am in a small bedroom, so I can't really display my games like I used to have them. Honestly, maybe like 20 of my games are out. I'm looking around the room. I don't have like a bookcase with games. I have showcases that showcase pieces and have a few games in that. But growing up and having the collection, like you said, was cool to showcase on my YouTube channel. Have it, like you said, as a backdrop when you're filming videos. Just looks cool, and it gives you, again, that credit. Oh, he, you know, he goes out and gets the games. You could see them all on the, look how many NES games he has. Look how many of this he has there. And it was convenient,
really,
too, where
I
could just you can run up on the shelf and, you know, grab whatever game off. Now, if I want to get an NES game, I have to go to mom's, open up a bin, dig through it. Oh, there it is. Now I can take some quick photos or whatever I got to do with it and put it back. So I'm hoping one day we'll get a house,
yep.
and then I can get back into a basement for a game room and then have a new collecting goal. Okay, now I can start.
Yeah.
You know, I have more room. Now I can get maybe more posters or more statues to add towards my collection. Because it's certainly, okay, end goal with collecting, you kind of have to have a budget, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And take into mind how much space you have.
Right.
Those are two major things.
Like,
because you're going to game conventions, you can't be buying all this. Well, where am I going to put it? How am I going to
You're in a closet like me.
Right. Jay is in a walk-in closet for his game room.
I had to get creative.
But it works. It works to make use of your space. Like I said, I'm in a bedroom. I turned my closet into a DIY station.
It's pretty cool, too.
Board and do my stuff in there. So I make use of that for sure. But sometimes it can get out of hand, almost, you know, the addiction sets in and you want to keep purchasing games, right?
And if you were like me when I first started, I had less direction when I first started. And I found some pictures not long ago, and I have like a PlayStation, a Master System, an Xbox, a GameCube, an N64. And then I ultimately just decided eventually, you know, I'm going to get rid of anything I don't have any nostalgic value for. So bye-bye GameCube, bye-bye N64, bye-bye PlayStation, and kind of narrowed my scope. So I think some people start out very broad, and anything with anything related to games, give it all to me, you know, and then after a while, you're like, holy crap, I got a mess here. I need to narrow my focus. So like we've been saying, throughout your collecting journey, it can change. I mean, I know Aaron talks about this and has talked about this in the past. His collecting habits change all the time. Like, he might get bored with this. Now he wants t-shirts, single stitch. Single dingles, as they call them.
In
the retro gaming pandemic world. So, you know, I mean, it can
VHS change. Tapes. A lot of, that's been big, big for a bit. A lot of people get VHS. He's got a ton of Happy Meals.
Yep.
Too. I've got a few. I got like the Mario ones, and I think I got a DuckTales one.
Yeah. So it can change, you know, like maybe you get bored with something, you know, and you just want to switch it up a little bit, you know.
I was going to say, even again, everyone's watching YouTube videos and this and that. Pixel Game Squad picks up a bunch of these single stitch t-shirts. Then Retro Gaming Pandemic, it's like,
and Retro Rick's got them now. Yeah,
and then you're like, hey, let me keep an eye out for this stuff. This stuff's cool. People are getting this now. I've seen some when I was at Portland Retro Gaming Expo a few weeks back, and one booth did have some retro shirts, and I'm like, there's no way I'm spending like $200 on a shirt.
It's like the new flex. You know what I mean? Right. You got the Nintendo World Championship T-shirt, you know, instead of the game, or you have the, you know, the Power Fest 92 or whatever it was, you know, t-shirt, you know, different stuff like that.
Absolutely. I mean, again, it goes back to your collecting goals. Maybe you want to have a few items, top tier items in your collection. You're like, all right, complete in box, something system, then maybe a cool t-shirt, maybe custom controller or custom console. There's so many different ways you can go. It's really going down to the person, their personality, their interests, their budget, their size of the game room.
Yep. Lots of angles to be had.
I'd say that brings up a good point to transition into what he was saying as well with No Remorse says, do you feel console and game developers are encouraging digital only versus physical? So again, we were talking about space. Maybe you're just going to be collecting digital games. That's not taking up room on the shelf.
Right. I'm sure for some families, that's nice. You know, like parents who don't have a lot of extra room, just all their kids can download their games to their Switch. No big deal. Us older generation, we like to have stuff that we know we're going to have forever. For example, I downloaded Dogs Eating Dogs, a Blink-182 album, on an iPhone about 10 years ago. I don't know where that iPhone is anymore. It's probably broke. I no longer have those songs.
Side note quickly on that aspect. Remember how Blink released two extra songs and you had to download them and you sent them to me?
Yep.
I'm like, so I'll be listening to their album on Spotify, and then I'm like, if I want to hear those two songs, how do I find them on my phone now? Do I need to add them to my iPod that I have to dig out and hook that up to my car? Or do I have to burn them to a CD?
They're found in your files.
I don't even know how to access that. I did save it to my files. I'm like, how do I play my files? I don't even find that on the phone.
You find the blue the blue file, as you'll see mine in the top left corner, right corner.
Okay.
Right there. You click that, open it up, and then you find the name of the Blink song, and then you hit play.
And then you just hit play. Okay. I'll have to sort that out.
Yep. See? Just like that.
Just like that. Fair enough.
But I personally do believe, this is my opinion. I don't know what Russ's is. We'll find out in a minute. But yes, I do think that developers are pushing this. I mean, you go into Target, there's hardly any physical media anymore. The CD selection's like this big. You're seeing less and less games on shelves. I mean, Best Buy and Walmart are both doing away with their DVD selection completely here soon. And why spend money on materials when you can just throw it up on the eShop and download it there?
Right.
You're saving shipping. You're saving
packaging.
You're saving printing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my hope is there's always some form that you can buy. But my guess is if the world is still, there goes my damn phone. I mean, my camera.
Your camera.
Reinstall battery. The battery never fell out, you idiot. All right, whatever. We're going to switch to the other camera. But what was I saying? My ADD kicked in.
Hopefully they have some form of physical or something. Or
yeah, hopefully on some level they have some form of physical media that you can still purchase, but maybe it's less. You know, maybe they just don't have as much of it. I don't know.
Well, right. That kind of dives into the companies like Limited Run Games. What was the other company? Limited Run, Rare Games, I think, is another company where they do a small batch of these games that were digital, essentially, and you could get a physical version of it. But again, yeah, I think companies certainly want to save money, and that's a good way to cut costs where they don't have to. That's box art they have to develop, right? And then you got to get printing of that, packaging, shipping it out to the stores.
I'm assuming the box art's still going to be there, at least the cover, because you'll see that when you're searching the eShop, you know?
Right. Well, just that main picture, you're not getting like the back of it with like screenshots and descriptions. And,
right. All that stuff.
I mean, they already done away with manuals in most games, right? Everything, if you want a manual, it's included digital sometimes.
Yeah, I was honestly surprised that you had that manual for that. What was the game you were just talking about earlier tonight?
Oh, yeah, Cathedral.
Cathedral, that had a cool manual.
And it even had a slipcover for the Switch game. It had a slipcover that also went into a, what would you call it? Like a sleeve.
Like a sleeve.
Well.
Yeah, dust sleeve.
Something like that. And the game, I think, like, you know, the game's like $40. And I'm like, that's a lot to include for a game. All that extra stuff. All they needed was a regular case, but they included a slip cover, a case for it, a box and manual. And you're like,
they went all out. And I think the reason they did it is because it was the 8-bit style, but still pretty cool.
Right. I mean, it appeals to the physical media collecting people. They want that stuff, that extra stuff, for sure. And my whole thing with the digital versus physical, I can't let Jay borrow my digital copy of my game on my Switch.
That's true.
But if I have a physical, I can mail it to him or give it to him for a weekend or whatever.
I will say one of my biggest complaints is you have to have internet access to play your Switch. So if you don't have the physical game inserted into your Switch system and you don't have the internet, you can't play it.
Oh, so you're saying,
am I mistaken in saying that? I feel like that's happened to me before. Like, I've been in the car.
I mean, if you're trying to play like Mario Maker 2,
and I tried to pull up one of my downloaded games, and it's like, you're not connected to the internet, you can't play this.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I haven't tried that.
So I don't know. I think that's happened to me.
Unless it had an update, that's happened before where a game, you know, has an update, or you can choose to start the game without the update.
Yeah, I think if you are not connected to the internet and you do not have a physical copy in your Switch, I think you can play it.
Maybe.
Give it a try. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Downloading all the games, then you pose another issue is storage space.
Yeah.
Your Switch only has, I think from the factory, like, I don't know, 4-8 gigs, maybe 8 gigs. Not a whole lot. You can get an SD card, a micro SD card, to insert it there to be able to have more storage. But again, that's, you know, maybe you're a kid and it's like, I can't afford an SD card. My parents only gave me this. And now I can only download a certain number of games. And if I want to download a new game, I got to delete that off my Switch. And hopefully it just stays in the cloud and knows that you downloaded said game. Should you have to get a new Switch or update or whatever, then you're like, oh, it's linked to my Switch ID or PlayStation, whatever you're playing, Xbox. And it knows you own these games digitally. But then what if they take them off the store and you can't download them anymore? Then what happens? It's like, well, I paid $20 for that game. I own part of it, but now I can't download it anymore because it wouldn't fit on my system. Then what
right. do you do? That's annoying. I don't know.
That's why I always try. If there's something physical, I'll buy it physically. Certain games I'll pay digitally and get them. But again, I can't see buying like a $60-$70 game digitally. Usually it's something indie that I'm buying.
Right. Yeah, same here. And you know, usually you get a little bit of a discount if you get it digitally.
Right. I feel like, and that should be a staple. Like if I'm buying Tears of the Kingdom, it's $60 at the store. If I buy it digitally, it's also $60. Why is it not $50?
Right. That makes no sense, right?
Like, to push it even more, to be like, oh, well, you're not getting the box and this and that. Let's give you a deal.
Right.
The only way you can get a deal is Nintendo does have some type of coupon system where you pay for this certain coupon. I think you pay $100. And it lets you get like $260 games, something like that, like a voucher. So then you're saving that way, I guess.
Do you think that in time there will be no physical media as far as like games go? Do you think that's going to be a thing? Like, I think.
Like eventually companies just completely go away. Maybe. I feel like they tried to test the waters with that when they came out with the PS5 that was digital only. You couldn't put any disc in the system.
Yeah, how did that do?
And certain people bought it.
Yeah,
I don't know how many. And then I don't know. I don't follow Xbox, so I don't know if Xbox did something similar.
Yeah, I don't know. I have an Xbox One, but it's an older,
okay,
much older
version. I mean, it was a little cheaper than what the one with the CD drive, disc drive had, but. Again, it's like the kids, like your son and this and that, they don't care about physical media, right? So it's like digital, so it's not really affecting them.
Yeah. I guess
it depends how long we continue to purchase physical media. Much like now, like you said, we're seeing Best Buy, Target, DVDs and CDs not really being there. Although, vinyl's coming back. I do see vinyl there.
Yeah, that's interesting, right? That's interesting.
So Taylor Swift's new vinyl record was there.
Of course it was.
Although I can't say the last time I purchased a movie at any of those stores.
I've been going to Goodwills and buying old DVD sets of The Office so that way I can get rid of Peacock.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Because that's really the only reason I have it. I love The Office.
What are we watching on Peacock?
I watched Freddy. We both watched
Freddy.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're watching any series on there, but again, yeah, with all the streaming stuff, Netflix, I think someone had posted a picture. They had gotten their last DVD back in the mail.
Oh, wow.
Because they had canceled. Now you can't rent DVDs from Netflix anymore. But again, that shows where we're headed with the digital, everything digital.
Let's get digital, digital.
But yeah, a great question about collecting your end goals. Like we said, it comes down to the person and the space of your game room. Or even if you could expand, maybe get some cool posters and you can have it in different places in your house. and that allows you to purchase more when you're going to conventions, flea markets, and see cool stuff like that. Knowing to have control when you're going out to these places and you're like, do I really need that in my collection? Will I have room for it? Will it be appreciated? Maybe I don't buy it. You know, maybe I skip this time.
I also found, this is just me personally, but after I found this sign, it was like, it honestly kind of like killed everything for me, because I was like, it's probably the coolest thing I'll ever find. What's the point in looking now?
You like hit the
pinnacle,
and then downhill from there. You're like, well, I did it. I got the coolest thing I could ever get.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt.
Well, it is all about the journey too. The journey of your collecting, right? Yeah. Because you could go back and think about those memories of like, hey, remember I went to Goodwill and I picked up that cool sign. My buddy gave me a call. Or remember when I found that Virtual Boy deal? That was cool. Like, we met up and chatted a little bit. So it's definitely fun about that with collecting. You could think about the travel of collecting all these games.
Let me ask you this, Russ. When I first started collecting, it was like a drug. Like, I was addicted, no pun intended. And like, it was all I thought about. And it was like, I would have like spend the weekend with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, where I was trying to enjoy like this nice Saturday, but in the back of my head, all I could think about was, I need to be going at a yard sale. What am I missing? I could be looking for something. And it was like, it was all I thought about. I was obsessed. And I find the longer that I've been in the collecting video game scene, world game, whatever you want to call it, the less that dopamine, that high, that rush is.
Right.
So I'm becoming like less addicted.
Well, it's much like it's something new and exciting and fresh. And you're like, oh, what is this like going to flea markets, going to tag sales, like you said,
yep.
and finding those deals. And then after doing that years after years, you're kind of like, I'm over it now. Yeah. There's other stuff that excites me. Cool. Or, you know, I'm good.
You got a little Samson? Cool.
You're like, I'll just watch videos of other people do that and I'll get satisfied that way.
I don't even watch other people do it anymore. Like, my consumption of video game content on YouTube is almost non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
I watch NES Complex because he puts out 1 to 2 videos a year. I watch My Retro Life because nobody can recreate what Tyler has. And then I'll watch a couple of my friends. Like, if you or Retro Reminiscence or Ron Man Gaming put out a video, I'll watch those, you know, here and there. And every now and again, maybe an old AVGN episode, because that gives me nostalgia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't really watch anybody else.
Yeah, I'd say it's so hard, like, to create content and keep up with all your friends' content.
It's impossible. Well, like, I remember when I first met Chris, aka NES Complex, and I'd ask him, hey, do you watch this? Do you watch that channel? And he's like, I don't really watch YouTube that much. And it blew my mind that he didn't. But then after doing it for so long, I get it. You just, it's impossible to.
Right.
And so especially as busy as Russ is, I'm surprised you're able to watch anything.
Right. Because most of the time when we're watching YouTube, it's with me and my wife. So now we've kind of gotten channels that we enjoy to consume together. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll put on some of the game chasing type stuff and she'll kind of sit through it, but be like on her phone. Like, we watched the Game Room Tour, David, that Retro Rick had posted, or sometimes we'll watch a Pixel Game Squad thing. But most of the time we're doing like DIY channels, like DeResta, make something. We'll do cooking channels. We watch Uncle Roger, like silly stuff like that, because we're putting it on while we're eating. And then most of the time now we're watching Miss Rachel because of Gwen.
That's hilarious.
So that's my, if you watch my watch hours, it's majority of that stuff right there. But like we said, it's so much time to be able to edit videos and watch your friends' videos as well. A lot of times I'd watch a lot of stuff on like 2x speed, to get the gist of the video, so I'm watching it and then I can leave a nice comment.
I'd rather not watch it than watch it that fast.
Well, I think usually it's a 1.5 because I can still understand someone speaking at that speed.
Yeah.
But collecting. Get out there and collect something. If you're starting a collection now, I mean, that's what I feel is the most exciting. If you're starting a new collection, you get that excitement. Even if you've been collecting Nintendo games, this and that, maybe you want to jump onto something that you haven't collected for before. You're like, oh, you know what? The Dreamcast. I only got a few Dreamcast games. Maybe I'll focus on that. And then you could kind of get that, you know, dopamine rush, like Jay was saying. We're really excited. Like, I'm more focused. That's probably the main thing, being focused and having that end goal. And don't have 15 goals, right?
Yeah, it's much too easier.
Many. You're getting pulled in too many directions. You kind of narrow it down. You get branches going down. Main goal, have a lot of video games, then branch that down. Dreamcast games, I like that collection.
Yep.
Mega Man games, maybe that. Okay, you know, statues or whatever. I feel like that helps you focus on collecting and your goals a little bit easier.
Totally. Absolutely.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. I knew you would, Russ. You always do.
Hey, give us a call. Let us know how we're doing. 949-682-9277. Leave us a voicemail. Send a text message. I think we've only gotten spam messages on there. I'm going to start playing those on here.
Hey, play them.
If you want to support the podcast, you can head over to patreon.com/RussLyman. Our top Patreon supporters are Dan and Nicole's Treasures Untold, Joe Sheevy, Trace Livinggood, Samantha Chang, Rodney Torres, Retroholic 16, supporting the live streams I do and the podcast as well. Kind of all goes together.
It does.
Since I'm running the show, mostly Jay shows up for
hour and a half. I literally do nothing except hang out.
But we appreciate you being here.
That's right.
I'm keeping your YouTube presence on YouTube.
It's honestly the truth. That's the only way I would still be on YouTube if it wasn't for us. Because might think I'm dead.
That's it. Like, whatever happened to that NES addict guy? Whatever happened to those Nintendo oddities?
They're back there.
They're just hanging out. Perfect. Well, guys, appreciate you hanging out with us, chatting with us, giving some feedback. You can catch us every Wednesday and Saturday at 7 a.m. for new episodes. And as always, I'm Russ Lyman. Keep your world fun bit by bit. We'll see you.